When I was in high school, one of my basketball coaches approached me one day at school, and he said that he was at home that weekend and his son Jeff was playing Nerf basketball with a friend. Do you remember Nerf hoops? Did you guys have those, the little thing that went over top of the doorway? I think I was 3 years old when I could dunk on a Nerf hoop, I think, because I was already like 6'1". But this coach said his son Jeff was playing with a friend and he was in the next room and he overheard them. And he said, at first they were Larry Bird and Dr. J. And then as they played some more, he said they were Jim O'Neill and Kerry O'Neill, my brother and I, kind of big fish in a small pond, you know, small town, and both of us 6'8", and playing on the varsity basketball team. And this little guy was imitating the pros, but he was also imitating us. And a short while after, another coach gave me this, really showing me the weight of being a role model. And it is a poem by Edward Albert Guest, and it goes like this. There are little eyes upon you. They're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fella's idol. You're the wisest of the wise, and his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds all that you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. Oh, it sometimes makes me shudder when I hear my boy repeat some careless phrase I've uttered in the language of the street. And it sets my heart to grieving when some little fault I see, and I know beyond all doubting that he picked it up from me. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. The truth is this, not just little ones are watching us, but we have influence. People are watching, even attending a church, and people know that, raises the level of expectation, right? Here's something you may or may not know, and that is waiters and waitresses do not like working on Sundays because it is the lowest tips they receive from the church crowd. In fact, I have friends who have shared with me as they've been wait staff who receive a little gospel pamphlet instead of a cash tip. And I think, wow, that's like worse than a negative witness. Who wants to read that and think good thoughts? The past several weeks, we have been talking, as Wayne alluded, this idea of being sent, of being missional, of impacting those around us, of having a positive impact on people. And yet, we've also learned that the admonition from the Lord before it was to go out into all the world and make disciples is to wait, to go to the upper room, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would be equipped, that he would go before us. And today we're turning the corner a little bit and we're talking about being on assignment. And I want to share a little bit about, as we finish up this series, you know, it's this idea of we need to embrace our true identity in God and who we are and what we do, what we say. And a lot of churches try to get so practical that we're told what to say, we're told what to do, and we miss the identity part, and that who I am what I say and what I do certainly is an overflow of who I am, but I need to get that identity right. And then as we go, this idea of Jerusalem, these are concentric circles geographically, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, it starts here. We start with those closest to us in the proximity and the simplicity of how we live. It is important. We will be the only Bible some people ever read. We will be perhaps the only Christ some people will see, because we need to be light, and that God would shine his light through us, that people would get glimpses of what Jesus is like as they encounter us. That's why it's so important. And I love this church. I love that this church is loving. And we might take it for granted that not every church is like this. And there are churches, and I have people I'll say friends with. By the way, I have more friends on Facebook than I have friends. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I have more friends on Facebook from high school than I had friends in high school. But sadly, that's a venue for people to spew hate. And sometimes in the name of God, they're spewing hate. And it is an absolute incongruence. And the vulnerability of what we share, both in the words I choose, but also the life that I live. And today, of course, we're talking about being on assignment. And here's the big idea. You're not a tourist collecting experiences. You are an ambassador sent on assignment. And of course, this comes from a passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. And he gave this wonderful message of message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. I realize that I want to contrast a couple of words, and one is a tourist and an ambassador. This has got to be way over average from the average congregation, but raise your hand if you've traveled to another country. Okay, 100%, that's not bad. It's above average. If there's one person who didn't raise their hand, they're going to walk out and going to Mexico tomorrow. We've been the tourist, and here's what a tourist does. You take photos, you see the sights, you buy souvenirs, you look for comfortable accommodations, you are going to the best restaurants that serve the best foods, and then you go home. You're not responsible for anything. You're carrying no weight with you. It's just about having a good experience. You don't speak on behalf of your country, although you represent the country a little bit. We've all had probably a hard time traveling at times because of the reputation American people get by acting like Americans when they travel. But here's the truth. A tourist, it's about their experiences, their comfort, their relaxation, their amusement. But not so with an ambassador. There's a weight. An ambassador representing a country or a king or a ruler goes to a foreign land, and they speak and act on behalf of that king or ruler. They've been sent on a mission, and they're not there for their own agenda. They're there for the king's agenda. And here's my question for each of us today. Is your life, is your spiritual life, is your Christian walk more of a tourist or an ambassador? We see in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. As though God were making his appeal through you, through your words, through your actions, through your attitudes that get displayed, your presence, your ordinary, imperfect, faithful life. That's staggering, but that's your assignment. That's my assignment. You know, when I think about ambassador, I think about a few things. One, it's official. You don't appoint yourself. You're chosen. You're sent. The king says, you go, and you go. You know, second, an ambassador is qualified, not because, in our case, not because of your resume or Bible knowledge or your eloquence. You're qualified because the king says you're qualified. And third, an ambassador carries weight. You're not just representing yourself, you're representing the king. And you do and say as the king would have you do and say, because you're not representing yourself. Fourth, an ambassador goes to a foreign land. You know, ultimately, the world is not our home. We're citizens of heaven living in a strange land. Scripture calls us aliens, strangers. Scripture refers to us as a mist that comes out of a kettle and you see it for a short time and it disappears. That's the brevity of our life and our time here. Like green grass that springs up and then the sun comes down and it withers away. That ultimately we're just passing through. And finally, an ambassador's mission is both local and global. Again, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Often you don't have to cross the ocean, but you do have to cross the room. And I think we've all experienced that, where our heart beats a little bit. You feel prompted of God to show encouragement, to show love, to be the presence of Christ in somebody's life. And it's tough to cross the room sometimes and initiate that conversation. You're not a tourist collecting experiences. You're an ambassador on assignment. At the end of my my last year of high school, I was chosen to represent the state of Iowa on this all-star basketball team. And of course, saying I'm one of the best basketball players in Iowa at the time is like saying you're the best third baseman in Sweden. It doesn't really have the same weight as some other states, perhaps. But I was really excited because I had a couple friends on the trip. And my one, like my first true Christian friend I met at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes basketball camp, his name was Steve. And Steve grew up in a Christian home, and he was much further down the road than I was in his walk with the Lord. And we were playing in this tournament in the Netherlands, and I had left this host family we were staying in. They had a couple teenage kids and this boy who was about our age, and I left and I was coming back, and as I came back through the back garden, I heard a conversation and I heard Steve's voice, and he's talking to this teenage boy who was of the host family. And as I heard what he was talking about, he was talking to him about the Lord. He was encouraging him to have a relationship with God through Christ to open up his heart to spiritual things. And I wish I could say, yeah, I stopped and I went over and I, you know, just was praying and asking God to open this boy's heart and this. I didn't do that. The emotions I felt at that time were embarrassment and shame. Like, no, he's our host. You're going to make him uncomfortable. You're going to put pressure on him. And then also I was processing a little bit of emotion that, wow, Steve is doing that. Should I be doing that? Why didn't I even think of that? And, you know, I look back and I think the difference at the time between Steve and me was that Steve was a Christian who just happened to be a basketball player. And I was a basketball player who just happened to be a Christian. I was okay if you called me a Christian, but it was an add-on. I'm much more comfortable to say, here's Kerry O'Neill, and boy, he's a gifted athlete. Oh, and he's a Christian. Much more comfortable with that. I think I told you, I was kind of a Secret Service agent Christian. I had a little Gideon Bible, but it was tucked away all the time, you know. And shame was part of my Christian experience. And especially wearing a jersey that said Iowa, USA. And I was like proud of representing the state, representing the nation, because we played in this international tournament and we were the only American team. But I was more of a tourist than an ambassador, certainly for Christ. And Steve was a great role model for me. Several years ago, I was at a church and there was a 93-year-old man who got up to share a testimony. And it was really short. It was short and sweet, but here I am all these years later remembering what he shared. And he shared this, that he heard from a neighbor that another neighbor he had down the street, he had very little, if any, interaction with. She was trying to describe him to someone, to this gentleman who was relaying the story. And she described him as that Christian man who lives down the street. And he started weeping because she noticed. Somehow she noticed, even without him having a conversation with her. And we see in this verse where it says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. And I remember for me how I changed when I started walking with Christ. Number one, I knew something had happened to me. I looked in the mirror, I saw the same gorgeous human being that I saw before, but I knew my heart had changed. I was looking at the world differently. I was looking at people differently. And number two, I wanted people to experience what I experienced. It was the first time I felt like my life really had purpose. And third, I wanted to represent Christ. And for me, that ended up being vocational ministry, but I realize that's not for everyone. But I think a desire, an acknowledgement, a realization, and a desire to represent Christ and to grow in him is evidence of a new birth. You know, the old me was very self-focused. I loved me some me. And now all of a sudden I was thinking of the Lord and what his agenda was. I came across this poem, Facing a Task Unfinished. Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know you, renew before your throne the solemn pledge we owe you, to go and make you known. where other lords beside you hold their unhindered sway, where forces that defy you still today, with none to heed their crying for life and love and light, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message, ours, fired by the same ambition. To you we yield our powers. O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake, forth on your errands send us to labor for your sake. I want to finish by introducing you to someone. When I was living and playing professional basketball in South Africa, I met a guy named Snowy Suter. He was an Afrikaner, but a good one. If somebody from South Africa hears this sermon and I say that, they're going to be angry. But wonderful human being, and he was a Christian man. He's a former Springbok. He got his national colors playing on the national rugby team, a world-class rugby team South Africa has. And that's a younger Snowy before I knew him, and the older Snowy on the right is the Snowy I came to know. And I met him through this ministry similar to FCA called SCAS, Sports for Christ Action South Africa. And I was speaking somewhere, and Snowy was in the audience, and man, he just took me under his wing. And he, like, on a daily basis, he would call me and just take me places. And his opening line, if you know rugby, he would say, let me introduce you to Kerry O'Neill. He's our new KwaZulu-Natal scrum half, as he would say. Scrum half is like the tiniest guy on the rugby team who plays the running back, and people's eyes got big. But he was a bit of a joker. One thing that was interesting about Snowy, he shared his testimony. He came to faith in Christ midway through life. And so it was real. He knew, that the Lord had touched his heart, and he started changing. And he told me this, that he hadn't shared it with anyone yet. He hadn't gone public with his faith. And even as he went to social functions, and if you're a national rugby player or former rugby player in South Africa, like, you get invited to stuff. This is like, Olympic level stuff in this country, gold medal kind of level. And he said he wasn't drinking alcohol. And somebody would say, Snowy, you're not drinking? And he said, no, I'm just watching my diet or whatever. But it was different reasons. And each time somebody would ask a question, he kind of deferred and didn't go public with his faith. And then it just occurred to him one day that he had this platform. People looked up to him, but he was never invited to share his faith at Christian Things. And one day, somebody asked him a question, and he said, well, that's because I'm a Christian. It was the first time. He, like, came out of the closet. I'm a Christian. He went public with it. And the next morning, he got an invitation to speak somewhere. And then a few days later, and then this was a couple decades earlier, this happened, and he spent his life just traveling and speaking and encouraging people. But it was when he accepted that identity, because, again, I can see where the identity of being a Springbok rugby player was probably more comfortable. I personally have experienced, I get invited to some stuff, some kind of big wig stuff occasionally, and you're at a cocktail reception or whatever, and somebody comes up and they say, hey, what's your name? Kerry, wow, you're tall. Did you play basketball? And then they're all intrigued. And they say, here's what we ask as men especially, right? What do you do? Oh, I'm the pastor of Fawn Lake Church. Bam, they are out. I mean, out like a scout on a new route, fishing for trout. They want no part of that. It's amazing how it can be a conversation stopper. So let me ask you this. Where are you? Are you a tourist? You're going through life, you're bumping along, collecting experiences, maybe keeping your faith private. Maybe you're like I used to be. You're okay with people saying, oh yeah, that person goes to Fawn Lake Church, but are you comfortable with the label Christian, disciple of Christ, somebody who's a Christ follower, somebody whose life is really lined up because of who you're following, representing him and his agenda, and ultimately not attracting attention to myself, but trying to draw attention to him and his goodness. Again, ultimately, we're not tourists collecting experiences. We're ambassadors sent on assignment. You don't need a Bible degree. You don't need eloquence. You don't even need a dramatic conversion story. You just need to recognize that you've been chosen. You've been sent. The disciples waited. The Holy Spirit came, and they went, not in their own strength, but in his. We're on assignment. We accept that identity as ambassador. It's a big title. It's a privileged title. It's an identity to embrace. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've called us to something higher than being a tourist with no mission, but someone chosen and sent and appointed. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. And God, that you would flip the script for many of us, that they're not Fawn Lake residents who happen to be Christians, but Christians who just happen to be residents of Fawn Lake or just happen to be grandparents. That we would be ambassadors. We would be on assignment. Lord, remind us that who we are is determined by whose we are. And we have you, a loving God. Give us the courage to switch from just bumping along, collecting experiences, and experience that exciting adventure of representing our King. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who sent us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, empowers us. And everyone said, Amen.